coordination with the audio documentary series Five Farms, KRCB is also offering our own series of profiles of five Sonoma County farms. Here's News Director Bruce Robinson.
Living on the land is a cyclical process, not just from season to season, but also, in some cases, from one generation to the next. Father and son, Bob and Emmett Hopkins, are one local example. Both grew up on the family's 200 acres between East Side Road and the Russian River, south of Healdsburg, then broke away for a time before returning to work the land. Now they're farming side by side, each with differing crops and practices, and fighting unexpected synergies between their adjacent endeavors. I began our three-way conversation by asking Bob, who had moved to the farm when he was just 5 years old, about his earliest memories of it.
Just literally walking up the hill where our house is now and seeing a bunch of horses that were pastured there, picking beans, which we did even at an early age. The hop kilns were still all around. Even on our place, we had a hop kiln still standing at the time.
And you've seen a lot of changes in what happened on that land over the years.
That's true. Our family never actually farmed hops. The last hop harvest was the year before we bought the place. We raised prunes. Prunes had always been grown on our place, or since the 1920s at any rate. But after the hops, we grew string beans, which were partly a way of utilizing all of the poles and trellising arrangement for the hops. We grew silage corn for dairies, and then gradually started planting more prunes and pears. And eventually all of the bottom land on the place was planted to prunes and pears.
How did the transition to grapes occur?
In the early 1970s, my wife and I moved back to the farm. We were newlyweds, and my mother was seriously thinking about selling the place. And I, after some thought, decided I really did not want to see that happen. So we moved back and started farming the prunes. And there was a lot of new vineyards being planted at the time. So eventually we decided to plant 9 acres of Chardonnay. And our first real harvest of Chardonnay was worth as much as 60 acres of prunes. So making the economic connection there that the grapes were going to be worth a lot more than prunes wasn't a hard connection to make. And so we started planting more vineyard and gradually planted the whole place to vines. We also have some hill land, which is really too steep to be planted, and we've always had cattle of some sort on that.
So after growing up on the farm, there was a time when you broke away from it.
Yeah, I've got to say, when I was 18, I wanted to be as far away from Healdsburg as I could. Back in those days, Healdsburg wasn't a chic little town with lots of nice restaurants and Calvin Klein furniture available on the plaza. It was kind of a dusty little farm town, and I had been working on our place ever since I was a young kid and really wanted to kind of see the rest of the world. And I went off to school, and I thought I would be a writer or a teacher, but as I say, when confronted with the possibility that our place might go out of the family, I really felt like I had to keep it in the family, so that's why we moved back.
So, Emmett, let me turn to you with the same sort of question. You grew up on the farm, went away to school a little bit. You're back now. What was your feeling about being there, going away, coming back? How's that all playing out for you?
I've always really, really loved growing up where we live. I spent a lot of my really young years traipsing around the hills, building wigwams and setting traps for animals, which never caught anything. So I've really enjoyed the property and being there. And I guess just gradually I really started falling in love with growing vegetables. And so we're in the process of sort of trying to make it work of mixing the vegetables and the grapes and figuring out how to integrate them.
Walk us through that process to this point. How are you proceeding with that?
The past year, my fiance Linda and I planted in about an acre of space that was where the grapes were pulled out, and the grapes were going to be left to have a fallow year on that space. And so we planted vegetables. We planted a whole variety from tomatoes to zucchini, corn, winter squash, salad greens, sold at the Healdsburg and Windsor Farmers Markets and a couple different spots, the Green Grocer in Windsor and a few other restaurants like that. And that went really well, so we decided we're going to move to a different spot this year. The grapes are being planted again where we were, so we ripped out all our stakes and moved down the road a bit, and we're starting up a CSA program this year, which is community-supported agriculture, in which we'll provide boxes to community members who sign up.
So by doing vegetables, are you able to cycle things through the year and have something going most of the time throughout the season?
Yeah, that's right. The one catch is that we're growing on the Russian River floodplain, which is where the bulk of the grapes are. And it doesn't hurt the grapes because they're dormant during the flood season. But the vegetables, obviously, it's hard to tend to your crops when they're 5 feet underwater. And so we lucked out this past winter and were able to keep growing through the winter because the floodwaters didn't rise. But who knows next year?
Is growing the mixed vegetable crop like that, I would imagine, more labor intensive than tending a vineyard?
In some ways, yes. I'd say you can make a business out of it without having too much extra labor. My fiance Linda and I basically do all the work on the couple acres, and we're able to make that work at this point. But it is a lot of day-to-day work.
Economically, how big of area do you need to farm to be viable?
That's still a question that we're still figuring out, I guess, for the vegetables. We're evolving each year as we go on. We're just in our second year now. And so we've decided to do this CSA subscription model where we have members sign up for our farm, which we call Foggy River Farm. In this model, you get people paying up front at the beginning of the season, which helps to finance any investments you need to make in irrigation, seed purchase, any other equipment, and so it makes it more viable in the long run.
Bob, you've been working the land for a long time. I'm curious as to how the transition is working out from your point of view.
Well, I've got to say I was fairly skeptical when it first got started, but I actually find it kind of exciting. One of the things that's nice about it is the fact that you can evolve on a much quicker basis because the lead time is so much shorter than it is with vineyard. With grapes, you really are thinking 3 years out from the time you plant. So you make a decision on rootstock and varieties and whatnot and hope to sort of have the microclimate and the economic climate and the market figured out when you make a planting decision. But if you've guessed wrong, you've got quite a bit of time to make a transition to something else. Whereas if you're planting mixed greens or a kale or something and you decide you want to alter the variety, it's next season or even in some cases within the season that you're already started, you've got the opportunity to change. So I find that pretty interesting. And the idea of using the vegetables as sort of a transition crop during a fallow period allows us to not have to replant immediately, but keep being able to use the soil, use the land in the period when the grapes are not growing. And that, I think, has a benefit for the replant of the vineyards, too. It makes it harder for Emmett because he's got to keep moving around on the place, but at least it's still there on the same acreage.
And how do you feel about the whole succession question, the idea that the next generation is carrying on in the same space?
I think it's great. I'm really happy to have Emmett and Linda back on the place. And it also, it makes me think about things that I might not think about otherwise. We're not an organic vineyard, although we like to call ourselves sustainable. We use a lot of organic techniques, but we're not certified. But since Emmett is really trying to raise his crops organically, it's meant that we are changing some of the things that we do in the areas that are adjacent to his vegetable farm, and it allows us to try out some of these techniques and see that, hey, they actually work, and it's a way we can do something different.
And what about for you? How do you feel about carrying on the family tradition now?
Like I said before, I feel really connected to the land, and so I'm happy that we're trying to work on ways to integrate kind of my passion with what my dad's been doing. And I think there are a lot of really interesting ways that you can integrate the vegetables and the grapes and other things for that matter. We just got a few baby doll sheep, which you can actually use as cultivators in a vineyard. They can keep the grass down because they're too short to eat any of the vegetation on the grapevines. We've also tossed around ideas about things like planting winter squash down every other grape row and let them sprawl as sort of a cover and not drive tractors down every other row. So there's a lot of possibilities for synergy.
Bob Hopkins grows more than half a dozen varieties of grapes on his Hopkins Ranch. Emmett and Linda raise and market their produce as Foggy Bottom Farm. You can read Emmett's blog about the farm at farming101.wordpress.com. This has been a production of KRCB News. I'm Bruce Robinson.